Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 15 lines from the top of Daf Nun. You'll notice that we encounter a triangle, and it's also counted as numbered as number 4. We're continuing in the series of Takonos Usha, various enactments that were made in the town of Usha. On the side of the Gemara, we see a nosei, a topic heading, and the triangle appears with a 4 in it. Takonos Usha be'inyan gil chinuch, a rabbinic enactment in Usha regarding the age at which elementary education should commence. And the proper way to serve as an what type of behavior to serve as an incentive or motivate, how to motivate children to learn. So now the Gemara. Omar Rabbi, Omar Rav Yitzchak, Beusha Hiskinu, Shei Odom Misgalgel Im Benoi Ad Shteim Esrei Shana. Mikan ve'elech yored imoy l'chayav. This particular sentence has unusual phrases in it, and each one needs an explanation. So we say that in Usha they enacted that a person should be misgalgel im beno. Rashi across the mirror, misgalgel im beno im misariv mi lilmod. If you have a child that shows no interest, who misarev literally means refuses to learn, yigalgil imo benachas ubedvorim rakim. Try to, yigalgil literally means roll with him. Go along with the kid in terms of how to motivate him, how to inspire him. Do so with words, with pleasantry. Nachas would be with pleasantry and soft words. Dvorim rakim, soft words. This is true, but until age 12. At age 12, mikan ve'elech, above age 12, the Gemara says yoredi mo l'chayav. Rashi says yoredi mo l'chayav l'radoisei b'ritzua u'b'choyser lechem. All of a sudden, or I should say, things now change. The approach changes. This might sound very, very unpopular in the age that this recording is being made, but the Chazal are everlasting, and they say that the Ritzua is a strap. The Radoso is to subdue the child or control him with a strap. And Choser Lechem, and food deprivation. Sounds very harsh, but you can imagine that the strap isn't necessarily a 5-inch wide, inch thick, heavy leather strap. It could be something that's very thin, and it could be something that might barely sting as opposed to inflict injury. And Choser Lechem, instead of a 5-course breakfast, it could be that he gets just a half a bowl of cereal. But you have to use common sense and logic as well. But the idea is that up till age 12, the try to motivate the child with the pleasantry and ease. But once the child reaches age 12, so then, and he still is resisting, so then you have to up the ante a little bit, increase the motivational methods. Continuing in the Gemara, Aini, the Gemara asks, is that so? As regarding the ages that we just presented, we're going to bring that into question. V'ha'amar le Rav, the Rav Shmuel Bar Shivas. Rav said to Rav Shmuel Bar Shivas. Rav Shmuel Bar Shivas was an elementary educator. Rashi says Malamid Tinoikas. So he's a rather well-known figure in the Shas and found on several occasions in the context of elementary education. So Rav told him, Botsir mi bar shis lo takbil, a child under 6 years of age, don't even take him in. Bar shis kovil v'sofile keturah. Once he reaches age 6, you accept the child and stuff him like an ox. Now the implication of that is that age 6 you're already going to be yored l'chayav, is stuff him like an ox. So the Gemara answers two approaches. In Sofile Keturah, Sofile Keturah means stuff him like an ox in terms of information, in terms of quantity of information. You ain't yoredim olachayov ad la'achar shteimis reishona, but in terms of methodology, that the strong-armed method of motivation that does not set in until after 12. So there's no question from what Rav says on that which Hiskinu Ba'usha. V'boyaseima, another approach, and according to this approach, the Sofile Keturah is an example of Yored L'chayov, but it says Lo Kashya, there's still no contradiction. Ha L'mikra, Hala Mishnah. When it comes to Mikra, when it comes to the scriptural facet of Torah learning, the scriptures, the Mikra, Chumash, then at age 6, you can, in practice, really, in order to motivate the child, you can, for Mikra purposes, then you use the strong method even from 6 onwards. And Hola Mishnah, when it comes to the study of Mishnah, though the study of Mishnah begins like it says in Maseches Ovis from age 10, the strong arm method, the heavy motivational approach, that doesn't set in until 12. The Omar Abaye, and we have a marking around Abaye's name, a bow tie shape on the side, under the Mivneh heading, there's a Shnei Meimros, Shebohem Abaye Mevi Divrei Ein, or two comments that Abaye quotes his foster mother. And the second Meimro you see here will appear in a bracketed section. And the explanation for that is, as Tama Sograim, we have written on the side at the starred note, Meimro Hasheni Shabai Eino Koshu Linyonei Chinuch. The second comment of Abai is not associated with Chinuch, with educational matters. Achar Sograim, Agmor Mamshicha Binyonei Chinuch. After the bracketed section, the Gemara will continue with matters of education, ubrius, and health. Now, in the Gemara, the Omar Abaye, Omra Liain, my aim, his foster mother, his nursemaid, told him, Bar Shis Lemikra, a 6-year-old is of age to study the written Torah, the scriptures. Bar Esir Lemishnah, age 10 starts Mishnah. And we mentioned just a moment ago that the commencement of Mishnah education is from 10, but the Yored L'chayov, the strong-armed, forceful approach, doesn't set in until age 12. And of course, all of this is where you see that the child is resisting. Bar Tlesar L'taniso Me'esleis, and at age 13, during his 13th year, that means when he finishes his 12th year, he's 12 years old and into his 13th year, he is to fast on Yom Kippur. Meisleis means a full day, a 24-hour fast. That's getting him ready for his next year when he has to fast from on the Torah level. Over tinoikes bas treser, when it comes to a girl, that applies the taniso meisleis, that the fasting meisleis is an expression meaning 24 hours from the age of after she celebrates her 11th birthday when she's into her 12th year. I just want to point out that regarding the age that we described in the context of fasting, there's a little more discussion about this you can find in the Tosfos, but for our purposes we will suffice with what we've said already. Now you see another comment of Abaye in a bracketed section. If you skip the brackets momentarily, you see Omrav Katino Kol Machnis has been pochos mi ben sheish, that goes back to the issue of Torah study and starting the child under 6 years of age. What are the consequences? What are the results? Now let's go into the bracketed section. Omar Abaye, Omar Li Aim, my foster mother told me. Here you see what, in addition to Abaye quoting Aim, you also see age 6 mentioned, like we had mentioned before. Hai Barshis, a 6-year-old, the Tarkale Akrova Biyoma de Mishlam Shis, that was Tarka stung or bitten by an akrava, often translated as a scorpion, on the day that he finished his 6th year. In other words, he's celebrating his 6th birthday. If he is bitten by a scorpion on that day, lo chayi, he will not live. Now, here you have a machlokis Rashi and Tosis. We say he will not live. According to Rashi, he will not live unless he is treated with the known reliable medical treatment. Tosfos says it's mashma, he will not live, period. Well, my asute, what is the remedy? So that, according to Tosfos, my asute, once Tosfos says that lo chai means he will not live, so what's the question of what's the remedy? There is no remedy. So Tosfos explains what is the preventive measure that one could take. The Gemara continues with the remedy. Mararta is the mora, the gall. The daya chivrisa, daya is a type of bird, so it's a white daya. You take the gall of that kind of bird, b'shichra, and you have it with shichra's beer, and nishafye v'nashke. You would rub it on, like smear it on, and drink it. Hai bar shosa, a 1-year-old. The Torah le zibura b'yoma de mishlam shasa, that is stung by a bee on the day he completes his first year, lo chai, he will not live. Maya sute, what is the remedy? Atzvisa de dikla b'maya nishafye v'nashke. Atzvisa de dikla is the type of mesh work that grows within the bark of a palm tree, and it's mixed with water, it's rubbed on the spot, and it is to be drunk. Omar Av Katino, Kol HaMachnis Es Beno Pochos Mi Ben Sheish. Father that has his child start Torah learning under 6 years of age, there are two, you can see that there are several approaches to explaining the results. So, Roman numeral number 1, Rots Achro V'eino Magio, the father will run after him in order to make him healthy, because what has happened, he started him too young, physically speaking. So the child will be more susceptible to, he has a weakened constitution, and the father will be chasing his health, so to speak, and not reach it. He'll be sickly. Iko diamri, another approach to this, and we call this the Bayes approach, chaverov rotsin achrov v'ein magien oso. His friends will try to pursue him, to race after him, run after him in order to achieve his level of Torah proficiency, because he started earlier than the rest of them, and they won't catch up with him. V'travayu isnehu, and both are true, says the Gemara. Cholish v'gomir, he'll be weakened, but he'll be very knowledgeable. Eboy esema, another approach. Ha de kochish, ha de bori. If he's a weak type of child at the outset, don't start him under age 6. If he's bori, if he has a strong constitution, then start him under age 6. Omar of Yossi Bar Chanina. And here we have the fifth takona. Ha'isha shemochra b'nichse melug b'chai baila u'mesa. Nichse melug is property that a woman brings into a marriage, but she doesn't write it into the ksuba. It's not written into the ksuba. However, as long as she's married to her husband, the husband is entitled to benefit from the produce of that field. He can keep that. The principal value of the field belongs to the lady. So what is described here by Rabbi Yossi, quoting the Takonas Usha, we're describing a woman, a married woman, who sold her nichse melug during the lifetime of her husband, and during his lifetime she died. Habal moitzi miyad halukuchos. The husband can turn to those purchasers and say, "You should know, I have first crack at these properties. I'm considered the lokeach rishon. So I expect you to." I demand of you to transfer ownership of these properties to me. It's reasonable to assume that the husband would then compensate them for their loss, but the point is that he has first crack at the properties. Ashkiche Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef the Rabbi Avo Davikoi Bechlusa de Usha. Rav Yitzchok meets up with Rabbi Avohu in Uchlusa D'Usha, means in a gathering, amongst the gathering of people in the town of Usha. Omale man mora d'shmaitza d'Usha. Rav Yitzchok asks Rabbi Avohu something that we already know, but he wasn't familiar with it. Who is the author, or who is the one that quotes, who promulgated the rabbinic enactment of Usha? My impression from the context of the Gemara is regarding the Nichse Melug matter. Omar Lay, so Rabbi Avo answers, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is the one that taught about the Usha enactment. Tona mine arboin zimnin, Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef, upon hearing that, then reviewed it 40 times. V'domi le keman deman chole bekiste. And after having reviewed it so many times, it appeared that it was in his pocket. In other words, after reviewing this piece of information so 40 times, then he felt he had control, he could retain it. There's a message in this Gemara which you find in a few places in Shas. The number of reviews that are necessary in order for a person to feel that he has control or mastery over the material, you'll find the number 40 mentioned from time to time. And there are other numbers that are mentioned. Here's a place where 24 times is mentioned. You have a place where 101 times is mentioned in Maseches Chagiga. Whatever the case is, one should realize that when studying Torah, many people, as they continue in their study of Torah, they react, well, yes, I learned Torah, but I don't remember, I don't retain what I learned. Before a person can even begin we'll say, self-criticism or self-evaluation about one's capacity of retaining Torah learning, before you even begin to evaluate your abilities, you can't do so unless you've invested effort in the review of Torah. And what's the minimum number of reviews? Well, I can't say, but I can tell you this much. You have very great men that reviewed the things 40 times, and only then they said, oh, I feel I've got it in my pocket. These are very great men with all kinds of talents and what have you, and they would not review less than 40 times. So that if a person feels that he's not retaining his learning and hasn't made efforts at least like these great men, then where does that leave us with any right to come to any conclusion? And hence, one must forge ahead in his efforts, and only then can one criticize it oneself or come to some type of, abysmal conclusions about one's abilities. We continue by glancing at the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. A diamond appears, and we see Gimel Drushes, or three Drushes Psukim Binyonei Tztoka Ubonim. Sheesh Litzayin Hoyu Hanoisim Shel Roiv Hatakonus Usha Besugyosenu. We're going to see Drushes of Psukim that interestingly connect or parallel with some of the Takonas Usha. It was most of the Takonas Usha that we saw. We saw five Takonas Usha. In the case of Takonas number 1 and 3, we saw matters relating to Tztoka, and Takonah number 4 related to Chinuch Bonim. And these topics of Tztoka and Chinuch Bonim will be the subject of these drushes. So there's quite a bit of connection between the upcoming drushes and the previous sugya. The Pasuk says, Ashrei Shoimrei Mishpat Oyset Tztoka B'chol Eis. The pasuk says that fortunate is one who abides by justice and practices charity all times. Is it possible, the Gemara asks, to do charity all times? Dorshu Rabbeinu Shebiyavne. The rabbis of Yavne explained, the Amri Law, another version of who explained, Rabbi Lezer did the explaining. This is a reference to someone who supports his children when they are young. And that's constant. Day and night, they are in need of his support. And Rashi points out what we've pointed out in our previous sugyan when we discussed this in the context of the Takonas Usha. Rashi says, this is tztoka. Why? Tzoka means it's charitable, it's an act of righteousness, it's not letter of the law. She'eno chiyuv alav bohem. A father is not obligated by strict letter of the law to support his children, even if they're young. Now, in our previous year, we did not mention this, but Tosfos mentioned that if the children are very young, garlic, infants, then everyone agrees that the father is obligated by letter of the law to support them. But when they, the expression that Tosfos uses there on Daf Mem Tes is katne ketanim. They're very small, very young. But here we're talking about children that are young, but they're not very young. So these are not upon you. They're not your obligation by letter of the law. And therefore, if you do support them, it's considered an act of tzedakah, an act of righteousness that you are, in effect, fulfilling day and night, every day, and that's tzedakah b'choleis. B'choleis mean at all times. We continue with a second approach. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar Zeh HaMegadel Yosayim V'Yosayim B'Soif Beiso U'Masiyon. The pasuk that says Oisit Tzedakah B'choleis is a reference to someone who raises an orphan in his home. Yosama, a boy, Yosama, a girl, that are orphans, and sees to it that they get married and enables them to get married. And that will also involve a financial support at their initial stage of marriage. Hoin v'oisher b'veso v'tzitkosoi oimedes lo'ad. Then we have another pasuk where tztoka is featured. You can see we've highlighted that with a dot underlining. The Rashi, hoin v'oisher b'veso, across from here, she'ein ha'momoin kolo. The money remains permanent. It doesn't finish off. V'afal pikein, even though you're not finishing off your money, tzitkosei medes lo'ad, you have continual tzedakah fulfillment. And that's an interest that requires some explanation. If you are continuously involved with charity, so that on a simplistic level, you're constantly handing out money, so how is it that the money reserves don't get finished off? So what is meant over here? Rav Hunav Rav Chisda. You have the two rabbis, Chad Omar. One says, this is a reference to Zeha Loimei Torah Umalamda. Rashi says, Zeha Loimei Torah Umalamda, Miskayem Es Bo, Hare Hein Va'oishe Beveso. I believe, personally, I think that Miskayem Es Bo means he retains it. That he studies Torah, so through his own study of Torah, he retains his own Torah. That's the idea of great wealth in your own house. And tzitkosei medes lo'ad, that is al shetorach lelameid letalmidim. The act of charity, of righteousness and charity and charitableness, is your troubling yourself to teach it to others. The next approach, v'char omar, in our Gemara, what is hon v'osha beiso tzitkosei medes lo'ad mean? Tzakosev teirin nevim uksuvim Umash Ilon La'achirim. This is someone who prepares the scrolls containing the holy scriptures and then loans it to others. The scrolls, they last for a very long time. And that's the Hoin Vesha Beveso. They continue, they don't decay in your, certainly not in your lifetime. They last a long time, and your loaning it to others is the act of righteousness, that as long as it's being loaned out to others, so you are receiving the credit of having fulfilled tzedakah, charitable behavior. A third drasha, Urei Vonim Levonecho Sholom Al Yisrael. The translation of this is, when one sees children of his children, means one has grandchildren, then there's peace upon Israel. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kivon Shebonim Levonecha. Once your sons have sons, Shalom al Yisrael, Delo Osi Lidei Chalitza Vibon. Once your children, have children, so that your sons, then even if they die, there isn't going to be any yibum. Yibum is the halacha of brothers from a common father. If one brother dies, married brother dies, leaving no children, so then the surviving brother is expected to marry the widow. And that's called yibum. And in the event that he doesn't want to marry her, so then the chalitza ceremony takes place. And that's where she removes his shoe and spits in his presence. That is a very... It's a ceremony that the Torah dictates, but it's denigrating, and there's a purpose for it. Without getting into the details, that is what takes place, and that's a situation where there is not, it's not a peaceful thing. It's an unpleasant thing. So that when a person's sons themselves have children, that avoids the whole need for entering the topic of Yibum and Chalitza, hence Shalom Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar Kevon Shebonim Levonecha, once your children have children, Shalom Al Dayone Yisrael, there's peace amongst the judges of Israel, Delo Osi Linsuye, this will avoid, literally, Linsuye means fighting. Rashi says something a little bit unusual. Rashi says, "Linsuye mi koro v'kode benachlo." Once a person has children, and his children have children, so then the line of inheritance is very clear, and there won't be strife in matters of inheritance. But if not, so then. It seems from Rashi that the lines of inheritance aren't going to be clear. The Marsha asks, how can that be when the line of inheritance, what happens, we'll say the contingency situations where a person doesn't have children, who then does inherit, those halachas are spelled out, not all they're spelled out in the Torah Shabbat. Shor B'Ksav spells them out in the Torah Shabbat Peh. What in the world would be the cause of dissent amongst the judges in such a case? So the Marsha offers a more elaborate explanation without getting into the details of his explanation, but he talks about a situation where if a person sees that his sons have sons, so he leaves his estate as it is, and it'll be inherited by his sons, and he feels the, and then his sons, his grandchildren will inherit it from them. He doesn't start redistributing his property. However, if a person sees that his sons don't have children, so then there's the fear that the original owner of the property, the father, seeing that his sons don't have children, he might start redistributing his property to others, and that can cause strife, etc. And I recommend looking in the Marsha for further details. In the Mishnah Daf Mem Tes Omer Aleph, it mentions Zem Medrash Dorash Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer referred to as Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah Lifnei Chachamim, etc. We turn to Omid Beis. The Mishnah at that point, by the way, had mentioned Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah had mentioned that. Mentioned the daughters and the sons in terms of their inheritance. There on Memtes Omen Aleph, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had said in front of the Chachomim in Yavne, Habonim Yirshu Habonus Yazunu, Ma Habonim Einon Yorshin Elachar Mises Avihen, Af Habonus Ein Yizonis Elachar Mises Avihen. That was the drosha on Daf Memtes. The Gemara continues at the top of Nun Amid Beis, Yosef Rav Yosef Kameid Rav Hamnuna, V'yosef Rav Amnuna v'ka'omar. You'll notice on the side we have a topic heading, Mizonos Habonos. Davka mikarka o afilu mimetavlin. The support of daughters, the food sustenance provided to a person's daughters after he dies, is it drawn only from land that the father left, or even from portables that he left? Throughout this Gemara, you can see the whole omid of our marked Shas, our Shas Ozer, is plastered with triangles. The Mivneh heading that you can see on the side explains that the triangle whose point is facing down, Shitos Delo Zonim Mimetatli. These are, represent opinions that say that Mizonos will not be paid to the daughters of the deceased from the portables in the estate. And with the point facing up, you guessed it, it's the opposite, Zonim Mimetatli. So now we hear Rav Hamnuna's drasha. Rav Hamnuna was sitting and he said, "Kishem shein habonim yorshim elo min akarka, kach ein habonos nizonos elo min akarka." Here we have to translate this literally, because after the literal translation, you'll see that Rav Hamnuna's comment arouses a great deal of public opposition. At the end of this story, you'll see that the public simply did not understand what Rav Hamnuna was saying until Rav Yosef comes into the picture and suggests what he really meant, and you'll see that Rav Yosef's point is well taken. So, in the meantime, the literal translation of what Rav Hamnuna said is, just as sons do not inherit other than land, real estate, so too daughters are not supported other than through land. So if you take this on a literal level, a man dies leaving a safe full of diamonds and gold bars. The children will not inherit it. The sons will not inherit it, and the daughters aren't going to get supported from that. Avish alei kulei alma. Avish just do the raising of voices. They screamed. The whole community was in an uproar. The shavik arahu diyarsi lebone. A person who leaves shavik, after he dies, so he leaves over land. Then the sons inherit. The lo shavik ara lo yarsi lebone. If a man doesn't leave over land, are you saying that his sons don't inherit? Omar le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef turns to Rav Hamnuna after hearing this uproar. He says, "You know what? Maybe your intention and your remarks was v'dilma ksubas bonin dikrin ko Omar mar." Maybe what you were referring to as your, let's say, your basis of comparison, daughters to sons, was based on the law of Ksubas Bonin Dikrin. We'll explain that in a moment. But maybe that's what your intention was, that you were saying, just like Ksubas Bonin Dikrin doesn't kick in unless there is land, so too daughters will not derive support from a father's estate from portables, rather only from land. And after hearing that, Rav Hamnuna says, Omar le, Rav Hamnuna says to Rav Yosef, Mar de Gavra Rabahu, you who are a great man, Yoda my Kwamin, you understood what I was saying. So that the din of Mizonos Habonos, the din, the law concerning support of daughters, is derived from the laws that govern Ksuvas Bonin Dikrin. Now, we must pause and say a word or two about Ksubas Bana Dikrin before going on in the Gemara, where we continue with the topic of Mazon Habonos. So Rashi describes this at length. Ksubas Bana Dikrin has to do with laws of Ksuba inheritance. A woman dies, leaving children, leaving sons, and this woman that had been married to her husband brought into the marriage a dowry that her father dedicated toward her marriage. And in a polygamous situation, there is a type of problem that arises, is that when a woman dies, her husband inherits her. And if a man had been married to two wives, and they both die during his lifetime, so whatever was written into the ksuba, whatever properties she had, whatever properties she brought into the marriage, are then inherited by the husband. Now, this husband has children from two sets of wives. Each wife had their own respective fathers. Imagine the feeling of we'll say the maternal grandfathers in this case, when properties, when items that he worked hard to earn, to achieve, and out of the goodness of his heart, he gives them to his daughter toward her marriage. But down the road, those very properties, in the event that his daughter and the co-wife, they die during their husband's lifetime, so all of those properties, when the husband dies by letter of the law, will then be distributed equally amongst all of his children. So that you can have a situation where one father gave... what happens is that the maternal grandfathers, realizing that what they dedicated toward their daughter's marriage, all those properties, those possessions, might be redistributed, so to speak, not only to his own grandchildren, but to grandchildren that come through some other woman, not his own daughter, because you're dealing with a co-wife, some other lady. So in order to dispel this anxiety on the part of maternal grandfathers that the properties that they dedicated toward their daughter's wedding might end up down the road in the hands of some other lady's children that were born to his son-in-law, the rabbis enacted something called Ksubas Bana Dikrin, which states that the monies, the properties that a woman brought into the marriage will be inherited by her children only, so that the maternal grandfather will be motivated to dedicate as much as he can, as much as he wants to, toward his daughter's wedding, knowing that his properties will continue down to his own grandchildren. This concept is a deviation from strict Torah laws of inheritance. Strict Torah laws of inheritance stated, as we mentioned before, that in the event that the two women die in the lifetime of their husband, the husband inherits the properties and become his properties. And when he dies, they're distributed equally amongst all his sons. Equal distribution amongst all his sons, leaving aside rules of firstborn for the time being. And what we're doing then, we're coming in and superseding, we're preempting the Torah law. That's it's a kind of an odd thing to do. So Ksubas Bana Dikrin states that everything we said till now is true, However, it's all provided that the father of these two sets of children has an independent piece of land worth at least a dinar. A dinar is a relatively small amount, but it has to be a piece of land. That's what we're coming to emphasize in our discussion. So if you have, for example, a man, just using example taken from Rashi, a man, he has two wives, and the two wives die in his lifetime. One wife, the two wives, let us say the two wives came into the marriage, each one, just to keep numbers simple, each wife came into the marriage with the same amount of money. Each one came in with $100. The only thing is that one wife produced two children with him, and the other wife produced 10 children with him. Ksubas Bonin Dichrin says that if this man, the husband of the two wives, happened to have a piece of land worth a dinar, the laws of the Torah laws of inheritance will apply to that small piece of land. And it'll be divided equally amongst each one of the children. So through that small piece of land, we are preserving and fulfilling the laws of Torah inheritance. The rest of the property, which is comprised of all of those properties that the wives brought into the marriage, in our example, each one brought in $100 worth of property. The Ksubas Bonin Dikrin says that Lady Aleph, who had two children, each son will get $50 worth of property. Those are her children. So her $100 that she brought into the marriage will be distributed solely amongst her children. Lady Bays, that produced 10 children, her $100 will be distributed amongst the 10 children, each one getting only $10. So you can see the importance of the Ksubas Bonin Dikrin in this case. A similar case where there would be a difference in distribution is, let's say the two women had the same number of children, but one wife brought in property valued much more than the other lady. So that lady that brought into the marriage property valued much more, her children, upon the death of their father, will be receiving much more than the children of the second lady who brought into the marriage much less by way of property. And all of this is made possible because there was what we call a moiser diner karka. There was additional property beyond that which the wives brought into the marriage, through which the laws of Torah inheritance would be fulfilled, namely equal distribution amongst each one of his sons. So that what Rav Hamnuna was saying was, just like the law of Ksubas Bonin Dikrin does not kick in unless there is landed property, there's real estate that the father owns independently, so too daughters will not draw their sustenance from the father's estate unless the father left land. So the land would be dedicated to the support of the daughters and not his portables. We turn back to the Gemara text. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, Rav Zon Mechite D'Aliyah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a tat nose, a subtopic, Birur Kavonas Psak Shel Rav. We're here to clarify Rav's ruling. Rav, it says, the Gemara says that Rav Zon Mechite D'Aliyah. And we continue in our note, Yisomos She'avien lo hishir karka. The Gemara describes some orphan girls whose father did not leave any land. I think that we should make an assumption here that they had brothers also. So that if you have a situation where they're only girls, so they inherit all of the estate and that's it. So that we have to, I would like to assume right now that we're talking about that there were their brothers also. So the in this case you have Yesomos daughters that their father did not leave any real estate. Ubo litvoa michiti mitatlin. They came with a claim. We want some form of support, and they want. And chiti is wheat. Wheat is a portable. The Rav nosan lehem, and Rav gave them wheat. Hagemor shel is ma tovu. The Gemara wants to know what exactly were they seeking? What were they collecting? Umau pirush aliyah. Rav's expression was michiti de aliyah. What does the word aliyah mean? So there are two possibilities the Gemara will present. One possibility is parnosa. Parnosa means nedunya, dowry. The girls were interested in getting married, and they were seeking from the estate that which girls ordinarily bring into a marriage. And nedunya is shenigves mi metatlin. It is portables are given to girls in anticipation of their marriage, i.e. their dowry. It's normal for portables to be given toward that. And if that be the case, the word aliyah is a word that means iluyo da'av, which means oimedaita. We assess what would the father have given to them had he been alive. So according to our assessment of how magnanimous, how generous the father would have been, we give accordingly that amount of wheat to the girls. Of course, the wheat has value, it can be sold, they have get cash for it, and with that they would enter their marriage. Beis. Oy mezoinis mamish. Or maybe these girls were seeking out actual food support. And even though the general perception, the general legal perception is that portables are not used for food support, Rav Sovar Kitakono Shiskinu Balia. Rav held like the enactment that was made in the Aliyah. The word Aliyah, you can see here, has a different connotation. The enactment was made in Aliyah. The Aliyah is a loft or a second story where there had been rabbis that gathered together, and in this aliyah, in this loft, they issued their enactment that girls shall be supported, their food support, food maintenance, sustenance from an estate's portables. So you see that aliyah can mean either our assessment of father's generosity, or aliyah can be a reference to a physical location, a loft where an enactment had taken place. So now we continue in the Gemara. Ibayalo, after hearing Rav Zon Michit Aliyah, the question was raised. And you can see the question lasts a number of lines. Parnosa Havya was the collection that Rav enabled. An issue of collection for nidunya, for dowry, umay aliyah, and chiti de aliyah. What does aliyah mean? Mi aliyah da'av. Through the amount was determined through an assessment of what the father would have given. Uchidi Shmuel, and in accordance with Shmuel, diyamar Shmuel leparnosa shomin ba'av. When it comes to an amount given toward the dowry, we make an assessment according to what the father would have given. Oy Dilma, Mizoni Mamishave, or what Rav had distributed was actual food maintenance, food sustenance, Umay Aliyah, and what would the word Aliyah mean then? Midvorim Toivim Shinamru Baliyah, from the nice words, from the nice rules that came forth from the loft. The Yomer of Yitzchak Bar Yosef. You notice the triangle here. This represents an opinion, as we said before, that sustenance for daily sustenance, daily maintenance, can come forth from even the portables of an estate. And Rabbi Yisrael Yosef said, Baliyo hiskinu shubonos nizonos mina metafilin. In the Aliyah, they enacted. In other words, there was a previous understanding or a previous law that girls, that orphan girls, are not to be supported other than from land, as we saw earlier. But there was then a subsequent enactment that they are able to derive sustenance from the estate's portables as well. So the question is asked, is then asked, what happened in the case of Rav? The Gemara attempts to respond, Toshma, Bidei de Rebbe Banoi, Achva de Rebbe Chia Bar Abba, in the possession of Rabbi Banoi, the brother of Rebbe Chia, Hava Metatlin de Yasmi. He had portables that were technically owned by orphans. Osu Lekame de Shmuel. And the case came to Shmuel, Amalei, Zil Zoin. Notice the expression Zon. It's like we had Rav before, Rav Zon Michit Aliyah. So Shmuel said, go and Zon, my Rav, the Mizoni. Uchrev Yitzhak Bar Yosei Svirolei. Is it not so that what Shmuel was saying was, go and give them their Mizonos? They give the girls their mizonos from these portables in accordance with Yitzchok Bar Yosef's teaching. He appeared above in the triangle, that mizonos mi metatalin. No, that's not what happened over there. Hasam leparnosa havoi. That which Shmuel said, zil zon, he said, give them the metatalin for toward their marriage in the context of a dowry. And a dowry is collected by letter of the law, even from Metaltalin. Ushmuel etamei, and Shmuel in saying so is consistent with what he said elsewhere, Diyama Shmuel, lefarnosa shomin ba'av. When it comes to the dowry amounts, we calculate how much the father would have given. Have uvda. There was a case where the issue of mizonos came up bin Naharda, in the city of Naharda, v'don daini de Naharda, and the judges of Naharda concluded to support the yesoimos, the girl orphans from the metatlin. B'pubedisa. Similarly, a case arose in Pulpadisa, Ve'agvi, Rav Chana Bar Bizno, and Rav Chana enabled them to collect from the Metatalin. Omar Lahu, Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to them, presumably to the people in Narda, the people in Pulpadisa, he said to them, Zil Ahadru, you better reverse what you've done, Filo, and if you don't, reverse that, if you don't, collect back from the Yesimus, the Metatalin, Magvino Lechu, Lapadnaichu Minaichu. I'm going to collect your houses from you. I'm going to take over your property. Rabbi Ami Ravasi Sovur Lemezan Mi Metatali. You have Rabbi Ami and Ravasi thought that they should support the Yesoimos for their Mizonos from portables. Omalu Rabbi Yankiv Baridi, he says to Rav Ami and Rav Asi, Milsad Rabbi Yochan Vresh Lokish Lo Avduba Uvda Atun Avdin Be Uvda, a matter that the great Rabbi Yochan Vresh Lokish wouldn't have acted on, you are taking the initiative to act upon it. Rabbi Lozer Sovar Lemezan Mi Metatlin, he thought that it is in order to support the girls from the portables. Omar Lefon of Reb Shimon ben Eliyokim, Rebbe Yodea Niboch Shein Midas Adin Ataoise Elamidas Rachmonas. He says, Reb Shimon says to Rebbe Lozer, I understand that what you're doing is not by letter of the law, but it's out of a sense of compassion. So that you're giving metatlin to the bonos out of a sense of compassion. But the students might see your distribution of metaltolin toward mizonos and think that that's letter of the law and establish that as letter of the law when that's not the case. Hahud osle kamid Rav Yosef. A case came to Rav Yosef, Omar Lahu, and Rav Yosef ordered, Havu lo mitamri dal budya. Give the yesoima, give the orphan girl her sustenance from the dates, tamri are dates, and they're portables, dal budya that are on, we'll call them collection mats. These are mats that are placed under trees onto which dates fall, and when you want to collect the dates, all you do is you lift up the mat and all the dates are gathered together. So Rav Yosef is saying, give the girls dates from the mats. Omar le Abaye. Abaye says, how can you say that? You have to give the girls the dates. The girls are coming, so to speak, with a claim on the property, on what's there. So Abaye says, can you imagine, Ilu Baal Choyvav, imagine that instead of the orphan girls coming with the claim, it was actually a creditor that was coming with a claim. A guy saying, you know, I had loaned this guy money, and I want to be compensated. Ilu Baal Choyvav, if it was a creditor coming, and a creditor has a lot of legal strength, insofar as that when a person loans money to an individual, if it's a milva bishtar, certainly, the person's properties, the person's real estate becomes indebted to the repayment of the loan, which we call in one word a lien. The creditor gains a lien on his properties, which means that the borrower, if he were to sell the properties after the loan took place, this creditor could go to the purchasers for compensation. This is something that girls, that heirs who have a call on property cannot do. They can't go to credit. They can't go to purchasers for compensation. So mind you, a Baal Chov, a creditor, someone who extended a loan, who has a lot of legal power, and he were to come along to the estate of someone unto whom he loaned money and wants to collect from the portables of that estate that were inherited by heirs, ki hai gavno mi have yoiv leimor. Abaye turns to Rav Yosef and says, imagine a creditor who has a lot of legal strength, and he were to come to the heirs with a claim on the dates as compensation for the loan that he had extended to their fathers. Would you give him the dates? No. We have a principle that the metaltelin dilas milo mishtabdi, the portables inherited by orphans are not bound to pay off their father's debts. Land, yes, but not portables. So how in the world, if a stronger claimant came, you would not give them the dates? The weaker ones, you are giving them the dates. Omar le dechazya lebudya kamina. Rav Yosef says, you didn't understand what I meant. I meant give the girls for their mizonos, give them dates that are about to be harvested. They're close to falling off. Their chazya means they're fit for the mat, but they're still attached to the tree. So being that they're still attached to the tree, we assume that they have the status of non-portables, of land. Nevertheless, we continue at the top of Daf Nun Aleph. Nevertheless, so, but still. We have a principle that things that are about to be harvested are considered as if they are already harvested. So even though they're physically attached, they still have the status of portables. So how can you enable the girls to receive that? So Rav Yosef again clarifies that I am talking about dates that still need the tree. They're still developing. And those are the dates that I'm assigning to the girls. So in effect, dates that still need the tree are not omeid ligzos. They're not ready to be harvested. And hence they don't have the status of something already harvested, i.e. portables, but rather the status of land. Hahu yosoim v'yosoim da'osu l'kamei d'rova. You have a case here of a children, orphans, a boy and a girl, whose properties were in the possession of an executor. And they came to Rava. Amar lehu Rava. Ha'alu la yosoim b'shvil yosoima. Rava said to the executor, give extra food to the boy in order that the extra food that he has will be consumed by his sister. She'll consume it with him. Amri le Rabbanan le Rava. The Rabbanan asked Rava, v'ham morhu de Omar, but you said, mi mekarkali v'ho metaltali, bein l'mzoni, bein l'ksuba, bein l'parnosa. Now we've emphasized the key words for our immediate discussion of lo mi metaltali l'mzoni, that metaltali are not used for supporting girls' mizonos needs. And in fact, Rava says metaltali are not used for other purposes either. But for our purposes, as we said, we want to emphasize just mizonos for right now. Omar lehu. So Rava answered, Inu rotza shivcha l'shamsho. If the yasom, if the boy, this orphan wanted a maid, a slave to serve him. Mi lo yavinale, would we not give him a slave, a bond maid to serve him? Yes, we certainly would. And wouldn't she need to be fed? So kol shekein hacha di'ika tarti. Here, all the more so, you have two elements. It's his sister. And she'll serve him. So Rava was clearly justifying the giving of the extra food to the yosom with the hope that extra would be consumed by the sister. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a Tanaic source, and there's some underlining also. So we have a topic heading and a structural note on the side of the Nosei. Machlokes Tanoim v'inyan Tashlum Mizonos u'Parnosa, which is Nedunya Mimetapolin. We'll see a Machlokes Tanoim regarding the payment of Mizonos and preparation of a dowry from portables of an estate. And under the Mivneh, the double underline, Havlotas, we're emphasizing expressions, Nechosim Sheesh Lemachrayas, in one expression means real estate, and Nechosim Sheesh Lemachrayas, portables. The term achrayas means it serves as a guarantee that nechosim shesham achrayas means that when people conduct, let's say, commercial exchange or extend loans, and the exchanges or the loans are documented in shtoros, they're documented when there is let's say non-payment, when there's default, so the creditor will lay his claim on land. Land is something that gives people a sense of security. Land is always there. Portables, people don't even think about collecting from portables, here today, gone tomorrow, so it's not on their mind when they extend their loans in the first place. So, hence, real estate is called nechosim, property, sheish l'machrayas, that have a sense of a security or guarantee to them. Now we turn to the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan, echod nechosim sheish l'machrayas, ve'echod nechosim shein l'machrayas. Whether you're dealing with real estate or you're dealing with portables, motzin l'mozon isha u'lebonos divrei Rebbe. Those properties can be used for the mizonos, for the support of the widow, the isha, the wife, the widow, and bonos, the daughters. That is Rebbe's opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Nechosim sheyesh lemachrayas, when you're dealing with landed properties, so motzien means we take from the yesoimim, the orphans, the boy heirs, the male heirs, we will take from them lebonos minabonim. Let's read that again. Motzien lebonos minabonim. We will, for the purpose of mizonos and parnosa, the dowry, we will take from land inherited by the male heirs in order to provide for the sisters, for the females, the food and the parnosa. What else? Ulabonos minabonos. Rashi explains this expression on the fourth line from the top. Ulabonos minabonos, liktanos minagdolos. If there are minor, there are young girls and there are adult girls in this family as the heirs. Yemein shomei lebonos, if they're only females, v'chzikudos b'nechosim, and the adult girls took possession of the property. Motzien miyodom v'chok is b'shove. We don't allow them to hold on to be the exclusive holders of the property, but rather we redistribute it equally amongst all of the daughters. V'hocha leka mizoni. Here, there's no issue of sustenance. She'ein abonus nizonus min abonus. Girls don't draw from the other girls. Levisha kulan shavus biyusha. They were all equal in the inheritance. We continue in the Gemara. Ulabonim min abonim. This has to do with a similar situation of adult male orphans took possession of all of the properties, and there were also young ones there. So we will move in and redistribute it so that there's equal distribution amongst all of the sons. And ulabonim min habonos b'nechosim merubin. If the deceased left a large estate, so we will not allow the daughters to take all of it for their maintenance. We will take away from them and give to the sons what they have a right to inherit. Avolo lebonim and abonos b'nechosim lotem, but we will not take from the bonos and give to the bonim when the property was very limited, when the amount of the estate was very small. Nechosim lotem, limited properties. When there's limited properties, the first ones to be provided for are the girls. Up till now, under the name of Shimon Elazar, up till now we were speaking about how we deal with real estate. Nechosim she'ein lemachrayas, when you're dealing with portables, motziim lebonim min abonim, ulebonos min abonos, which we saw before meant equal distribution amongst male heirs and amongst female heirs, if they're only boys. So if the adult ones have taken possession of all the metoplin, we'll redistribute amongst all of them equally. And if they're only female heirs, likewise. Ulabonim min abonos. And when you're dealing with metoplin, we'll take away from the girls and give possession of them to the boys. Avalo lebonos min habonim. But we won't give to the girls from portables, give to them after taking away from the sons. In other words, we won't take away from the sons to give to the daughters portables. Afogav, the kaimalon halacha kerebi mechavero. Even though there is a rule in psak, how we issue legal rulings, and the rule says that when you have a controversy between Rebbe and a singular colleague of his, the halacha follows Rebbe. That's halacha kerebi mechavero, above his friend. Hacha, in this case where Rebbe appears also as arguing with a single individual, with Reb Shimon ben Elazar, in this particular controversy, halachic Reb Shimon Elazar. Why? D'yoma Rava, because Rava was a later Amoraic authority, he ruled halachasa mimekaki velo mimetatali, We saw this ruling earlier, that the halacha is that collection is made only from land, not from portables, bein l'ksuba, bein l'mezoni, bein l'parnosa. Whether it be for ksuba matters, the ksuba is very likely a reference to the tnai ksuba of mezonos habonos, and that's the conditions that are spelled out in ksuba, which we refer to as tnai ksuba, the conditions of ksuba which provide for the mezonos of the bonos. So that is only from land, not from portables, and that's ksuba. Let us just retract that for a moment. Ksuba is because what we just described is really mezoni. So for other ksuba related matters, it's only if there's karka. We can suggest, because I see Rashi here doesn't give an immediate explanation. We made reference before to the ksubas banin dichrin that will apply only if there is land. Mizoni is the sustenance provided for the girls, and the parnosa is the nidunya. So Rava is going quite extreme here, that even for parnosa, even for nidunya, we will provide that only from land, not from portables. So that portables that are left in an estate are inherited exclusively by the sons. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.